When I was a teen and was challenged about my media choices, my thinking was, what's the big deal? It doesn't affect me. That is a common defense by those who do not think it is important to use discretion in their media choices. So how does someone like me go from making lame excuses like that to running an international ministry that promotes media discernment? Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including information about our award-winning documentary, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president, and I want to welcome my podcast co-pilot, Rhett Simpkins.
It's good to be back.
So, Rhett, the beauty of doing this weekly podcast is that we can tackle one subject at a time. The issues regarding media and entertainment and technology are so overwhelming at times. So we're going to eat the elephant, so to speak,
one bite at a time.
So, Rhett, why don't you introduce our subject today?
You mentioned in the opening that you used to think that media didn't have an effect on you when you were younger. I think there are quite a number of people, young and old, who think that. So I've put together a handful of questions for you on that subject.
Now, before we start with your first question, I thought it would be helpful to play a few clips from our documentary Captivated, where I interviewed over 21 experts as well as 8 personal stories, including your own. And I want you to hear some of the responses I received when asking questions about this common rebuttal, but it doesn't affect me. First up, we have Tim Winter, who is the president of the Parents Television Council.
I think most parents instinctively, intuitively know that that there is content out there in entertainment, TV, films, video games, you name it, any form of media, that's not appropriate for a child. And the scientific research backs up that instinct that parents know there's harm there. When the medical research, and we're talking 50 years, more than 50 years, of scientific, clinical, social science, that says this stuff is harmful, can be harmful to kids. Parents need help. Today you have the internet, you have cell phones, you have media targeting their kids 24 hours a day.
All right, next we have Bob Walaszewski. He's the director of Plugged In at Focus on the Family.
I'm hugely concerned that today's media influences attitudes and behavior. And because it influences attitudes and behaviors, it can do some great positive things, but it can also do some incredibly negative things.
Next up is Phil Chalmers. He's an author and speaker on the subject of media.
You know, there is no question in my mind after 25 years of research that violent media does impact teens, juveniles, children. I've seen it firsthand in all the studies I've done. So, you know, it's very obvious, but the people who don't think it impacts them, in my studies, I found there's two people that don't think violent media impacts them, and it's the people who are totally addicted to the violent media and those who sell it.
Also, we have Al Menconi. He's an author and speaker as well.
I've heard from young people all the time that says, you know, it doesn't affect me. I could watch this movie and it doesn't affect me. This TV show, it doesn't affect me. I listen to this music and watch these videos and they don't affect me. I play this video game and all these video games and they don't affect me. My simple response to that is, really? How do you know?
Lastly, we have Dr. David Murray. He's a professor of theology.
There is an unbreakable link between what we see and hear and what we do. You can't break that link. You can't think, I'll watch and I'll listen, but I won't do. God has joined them all. And again, that works the opposite way. You know, if we are feasting our eyes and filling our ears with what's good and pure, then it will have that blessed effect on our outward actions as well, and we'll become a blessing to others.
You know, I never get tired of listening to Dr. David Murray's Scottish accent.
Yeah, listening to these guys makes it sound like there is a justified concern about media's potential to have a negative effect on people. Is this concern something new? Or?
Well, the concern is nothing new. In fact, many may find it shocking to hear what Hollywood agreed to in the Motion Picture Production Code of 1930. Now, I would encourage you to read the entire code if you get a chance to find a copy of it online. But let me just read a segment here. It says that mankind has always recognized that entertainment can be a character either helpful or harmful to the human race. It goes on to say the moral importance of entertainment is something which has been universally recognized. It enters intimately into the lives of men and women and affects them closely. It occupies their minds and affections during leisure hours and ultimately touches the whole of their lives. A man may be judged by his standard of entertainment as easily as by the standard of his work. So correct entertainment raises the whole standard of a nation. Wrong entertainment lowers the whole living conditions and moral ideals of a race. Can you believe that?
Do you think it is reasonable to assume that common sense should be enough to confirm media's impact in our thoughts and behaviors?
You know, you would hope that common sense would be sufficient, but one of the effects that media can have on us is that we can become numb or desensitized, and that in itself can obscure the seemingly obvious impact. But I'm actually getting onto another subject here, which we're trying not to do. So with that one, we should come back to that in another podcast. But let's listen to this clip from Pastor Joe Schimmel, founder of Good Fight Ministries, because I believe he says it better than I do.
So much media is purposely focused upon changing people's worldviews. And we want to think about the power of media. You really can't deny it. I mean, some Christians want to sidestep this issue and say, oh, it doesn't really influence you. That's ridiculous. I mean, CBS released the average payment for a 30-second commercial during the Super Bowl. Each company paid an average of over $3 million for just 30 seconds. Why would they be so foolish to waste that money if they couldn't affect people? What happens when somebody's watching something they want to watch, not a commercial? You usually don't want to watch a commercial. And you're watching for hours or listening to for hours a day. It's going to have an amazing effect on the way you live your life and on your behavior. And the Bible says the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we can't even trust our own hearts to be subjected to media and know that we're not going to be affected.
Pastor Joe hit the nail on the head. I couldn't have said it better.
Do you have a scripture in mind to help shed some light on the subject?
Well, certainly. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So in this verse, it's contrasting two things, the flesh and the spirit. And it's talking about, you know, what you plant is actually what's going to grow. I like to use another illustration, and that is of two engines. And what do all engines need in order to run?
Fuel.
All right, some kind of fuel. And so I want you to think for a moment of your media choices, the media that you're consuming as a type of fuel. And ask yourself the question, what engine is it actually fueling? And so think of these two engines, one called the flesh and one called the spirit. And once again, the Bible says that if you sow to the flesh, or in this analogy, we're saying if you're giving fuel to that engine, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, or you're adding fuel to this engine of the spirit, from that you're going to reap eternal life. So there's these two engines. What media, the media that you're consuming, what engine is it actually fueling? Because the one that gets the fuel is one that's going to run really well. Now, when I was a pastor, I remember, you know, talking with some young people, and, you know, especially after something like a retreat or a camp where they had this great spiritual experience, but then, you know, come the fall, you know, after summer and things are getting back into the routine, you know, it was not uncommon to hear young people say, "Oh, I just feel so, you know, I don't know, I just feel spiritually drained. You know, I feel like I'm running on empty, and I don't want to read the Bible. I don't feel like praying. And if I do try to pray, it just feels like my prayers hit the ceiling. And I'm not real enthused about spiritual things right now. And one of the first questions I would ask is, you know, tell me about your media choices. How do you spend your time? Because if you're like the average teen who consumes 7.5 hours of media every day, and a lot of that is garbage coming in, then surely that's going to be the engine that's getting all the fuel, and that spiritual engine is going to be running on empty. And one of the things I believe that the Bible teaches about this conflict between the flesh and the spirit, and looking at these as two engines, you know, they don't run at the same time. They can't run simultaneously. It's either one or the other. You can't walk in the spirit while walking in the flesh at the same time. So if you're filling your heart and your mind with all of this stuff that's feeding the flesh, no wonder you're feeling spiritually empty. And so, once again, there's a saying. It was originally a computer programming saying, but it was garbage in equals garbage out. But I think it applies to many things. And if we're allowing a lot of garbage into our lives, no wonder that that's what's going to be coming out of our lives.
Now, in the opening, you mentioned that you used to think that media didn't affect you, but now you run an international ministry on the subject. So what happened to bring about this change in your life?
Boy, it's an important story, and one that I like to share, because I'd grown up in a really solid Christian home, and actually my parents were very careful about our media consumption in the house. Now, one of the things that was I couldn't avoid was I was went to public school, and while at public school I was exposed to all sorts of things, and it allowed me an avenue to kind of get around some of the restrictions that my parents had in the home. And so I began at a very young age to kind of be the black sheep of the family and to be rebellious, and I chose my friends unwisely. And I began to allow my heart and my mind to be tainted by a lot of garbage media coming in. Of course, I had become numb and desensitized and didn't see it. But something happened, you know, when I was 17 years old, I came to a place where I became very convicted over my sin. I was brought to the foot of the cross. I came to a place of repentance. And I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, and I was born again and transformed, and that began a whole new chapter, the best chapter of my life. And shortly after that, though, I was at an event where the guest speaker actually talked about righteousness and what it meant to live a holy life. And to this day, I don't recall whether he actually talked about media and entertainment or not. I just know that as he spoke, that's what the Holy Spirit began to convict me in my life about. And in my heart, I began to have this argument, you know, or debate with God, you know, because I sensed that this was something that God was convicting me about, and my reaction, but it doesn't affect me. It's not a big deal. And, you know, the Holy Spirit and that still small voice just began to ask me some questions. You know, Philip, you know, if it's not such a big deal, then why aren't you willing to let it go? And, you know, I sense the Lord asking me to let some things go. And kind of that challenge, you know, would you let go if I asked you? And my response, you know, to the Holy Spirit was no, I don't. And I began to see for the first time, my eyes were open. Boy, this has a hold on me. I don't know what it is. I don't believe it affects me, but I do see that as a new Christian, I shouldn't be holding back anything, and there shouldn't be anything I'd be willing to give over to the Lord if He asked me. So why is it that I feel like I have to hold on to this? So not only was I holding on to it, but I felt it had a hold on me. And so without anybody encouraging me to do this, other than I believe the Holy Spirit, I decided to go on a 2-week media fast. I was just going to I wasn't going to watch any television. I wasn't going to see any movies. I wasn't going to listen to the radio. I wasn't going to play any video games. And this would have been back in 1989. And so we didn't really have the internet in our house. That was not very common then. And so I went on this two-week media fast. And what happened was just this miraculous change in my life. I began to, first of all, be resensitized to the things that I had been desensitized to. I began to see how these things, a lot of the media had a hold on me. But most of all, I really felt free. I really felt this new freedom. That's like, this is great. And this may seem hard to believe, but this was such a big issue in my life that once I let go of it, I had felt like there was nothing that would hinder me from doing whatever God had called me to do. You know, and it was shortly after that I was called into ministry, and I was thinking about that. So, you know, that was kind of a step. My life had been so hinged on media and entertainment, not knowing how that was really keeping me anchored to the world and not free to serve the Lord. And so by letting go, I realized that freedom is, I heard recently someone use this term, freedom is not a free for all. You know, it's, and that was kind of the thinking that I had grown up with, the false philosophy that freedom means doing whatever you want. And yet freedom is really being surrendered to Jesus Christ, knowing that you're a servant and he's the master, and that there's, you know, there's nothing we should be holding on to that shouldn't be submitted to him and to his wisdom and discernment. And so I just had a tremendous amount of freedom. Another thing that I began to do at that time was I began to read my Bible more. Even though I'd grown up in the church, I'd been to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Baptist business meeting. And yet, with all of that, here I was 17 years old and I'd never read the Bible all the way through. So I was determined that for my elective reading, I would not read anything else except the Bible. So I cut out a lot of media. In fact, after that 2 weeks, I just continued to go on a media fast. It was very, very minimal in my life for the next several years. I just spent more time focusing on the Word of God, spending more time praying. And, you know, my thinking was really transformed. Now, I had no thought at all about teaching about the subject. And in fact, I learned really early on that the church was really touchy about this. When my wife and I were newlyweds, and this was 21 years ago, you know, we didn't have a TV in our home or in our apartment. And I remember Christian friends coming by to our apartment for the first time. And one of the first things that they would notice and point out was that we didn't, you know, where's your television? As if we were committing some crime, you know, against humanity for not having a TV in our apartment. And I would tell them, well, you know, we don't have one. And I would see this barrier go up and this, I don't know, you know, this knee-jerk reaction. And there would be this sense of like, oh, you're one of those. And I'm thinking, one of what? You know, what have I done? What crime have I committed? I'm not telling you not to have a television. I'm just saying I don't have one. And over the years, I started learning to just tell people, look, you know, the reason I don't have a television is not because I'm self-righteous. It's because I'm unrighteous. It's a stumbling block to me. And I feel like I'm more productive and I feel I have much more freedom without having it in my home. So that's really the trajectory I had for many years. And God just was teaching me things, but I wasn't teaching about it. I just was nervous about bringing the subject up with anybody until I was serving as a youth pastor full-time. And you remember those days because you were one of the kids in the youth group, bringing your Nirvana CDs to a youth group and having to have them confiscated. And I could tell a lot more stories on Rhett. He's come a long way as well. Mm-hmm. But and I began to, you know, as I worked with teens full-time, I just saw this as a huge battle, you know, for hearts and minds of this generation. And I really didn't know what to do other than spend a lot of time praying and doing what I could to try to communicate these truths. But really that those years in my life is what God used to begin to really solidify in my own heart that this was what I saw as a David versus Goliath, you know, battle. In fact, probably a better analogy would be an Israel versus Goliath, because if you know in that story, it was Israel that was cowering before the giant as he mocked God and mocked Israel. And I saw this issue is the church just not really wanting to address it. You know, the church was cowering before this giant of media and entertainment, going, oh, it's just too big of a subject for us to take on, you know, and we're so compromised. And I felt like, boy, someone needs to stand up. And I know sometimes we can feel like we're alone in those. And over the years, I've realized I wasn't alone, that there were a lot of people concerned as well. So, you know, it's even a much longer story that I tried to compress. Mm-hmm. But long story short, that's how the Lord led me eventually into a ministry specifically addressing this.
Okay. So what should a person do if they're thinking, it doesn't affect me, and they really don't think that it does?
Well, I know one easy way to find out is to just try going a couple weeks without it. And you'll find out really quick, like I did, that it has a hold on you, and or you are holding tightly on it. But another, I think, an action step would be to, first of all, humble yourself and seek the Lord. You know, ask Him specifically to help you discern why you are so defensive and touchy about your media choices. And I was like this. I was right there. So I'm not sharing anything that I didn't have to go through myself. And just humble yourself, like I came to that place and said, Lord, would you, you know, I'm willing to let you speak into my life on this. I'm not going to hold back. And ask Him to help you understand why you're so determined to hold your ground and not consider how media might be impacting you or your family negatively. So that's what I would encourage you to do this week. And as we wrap this up, thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. And click on the audio tab to get a free download of my audiobook, What Wouldn't Jesus Do? Media Choices in the Light of Following Christ. That's how I began this ministry, was by writing that book. And if you haven't seen our award-winning documentary, Captivated, I want to encourage you to order your copy today. You can actually watch the trailer and several video clips, as well as learn more about that documentary at captivatedthemovie.com. Parents Television Council calls it deft and powerful, and numerous moms, dads, and pastors say it's a must-watch for every Christian family and church. If you have a question or topic you'd like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@mediatalk101.org. Once again, that's podcast@mediatalk101.org. So join us next time as we talk about becoming desensitized and numb when we lack discernment.